Scripture reading today is Psalms 111 and Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has known his people, the power of his work, giving them the lands of other nations. The work of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever, holy and awesome in his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at the distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." We ask God to bless these words to our hearts and our mind.
Good morning. Oh, it's so good to be here with you. How many of you are familiar with Child Saving Institute? Okay, quite a few. Just a few words to give you to anchor who we are, and who we have been. Child Saving Institute just celebrated on April 7th, 130 years of service to children and families in the community. So we started, because some of you might say, why are they? Why is she here? Why is she here? We started by A.W. Clark, who was a minister who came, and his ministry he thought was going to be with adults who were at the saloons and were overly indulging in adult beverages, if you know what I mean. And when he was doing that, what he saw were children who were not clothed properly, and they were unsupervised. And some told them that they were hungry. So he did what any good man would do. He went home to his good wife, Sarah, and said, "I'm feeling a shift. Maybe it's not the adults that is the ministry. Maybe it's children." And like any good wife, she supported her husband and said, "Whatever you think, I support you and I am with you." A few weeks later, he brought a 7-year-old girl to their home, and that became the beginnings of what we now know as Child Saving Institute. We operated as an orphanage for many, many years. And I am so excited to tell you, for many, many years, Child Saving Institute has been supported by the disciples of Christ. As a matter of fact, we have a board member. We always have a DOC member on our board. And right now it's Joshua Sawyer, who is the pastor of First Christian in Omaha. So this is a long-term connection. So before I go any further, let me just thank you for the years that you guys have supported us through Substitute Santa, through giving so that children can have clothes and toys, and even through the years, different offerings that you've done to support us. And we are grateful to you and for you. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit and about CSI, but I'm going to do it through the context of a scripture that you know well, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So I asked someone, I said, I hope you haven't had heard about the Good Samaritan. I'm not going to call any names, and I'm not going to point in any direction, but they said they didn't think so. So today we're going to talk about the Good Samaritan. So if you will bear with me, the scripture in Luke says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and tested Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Remember that, love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you shall live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar, but Samaritans really did not intermingle and have much to do with other people. A Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So the question is, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. So the challenge that I have for you, really, it's just a question. Who is your neighbor? And I want you to expand your thought about your neighbor. Maybe it's not the person that lives to the left or to the right on your street. Maybe it's not the person that you golf with or who you're in quilting club with. Maybe it's not someone that you go to church with. Maybe they don't look like you. Maybe they have an accent. Maybe they are small. Maybe they are not the same age. But who is your neighbor? We've got to identify our neighbor. That's the challenge. Who do you see? Oh, we're all busy. Life is very fast. Do you see that one that is hurting? Do you see that person that is wounded, who can't do for themselves, who's in down on their luck, who's in a hard way? You know that we have had a few years and they have been hard on most of us. Hard years. So we have children and families within our community who maybe they were doing okay, but they were on the edge of the chasm. And when the hard times came, guess what? They fell in. They fell in. They weren't doing well. So what is the second lesson we see from the Samaritan? It'll cost you something. Being compassionate, caring about your neighbor will cost you something. It will cost you your time. It will cost you emotional energy. And dare I say it, it may cost you financially to care, to love. So we had point one. Who is your neighbor? That was the challenge. And then point two, the cost. It'll cost you something. Wow. Point three, it'll change you. When we get involved with those around us, it changes us. You are changed. I am changed. It takes us out of our own self-centered nature and lives and expands our heart because we are involved in caring and showing true love, just like Jesus. Are you loving your neighbor? Do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? I hope, like me, you will be challenged and changed to love in a greater way. It's a big community, and there are lots of people to love and serve. Do you see yourself in the story? I hope none of you, and I believe you weren't like the priest that walked by or the Levite. I hope and know that this church is full of people who stop. I know that because you've supported Child Saving Answer too. Go and do likewise was the challenge for us individually. So let me just tell you, in the back, there's a display, and I hope that you will stop by there. Please take, there are pens, there are a few bags, anything that's on the table, you may take. But I want to tell you that Child Saving Institute, our mission is responding to the cry of a child. We are not doing that less. We are doing that more. Because there are more children crying, more people hurting, and the need is great. Let me give you an example. About 5 years ago, we had 5 full-time therapists on staff. Now we have 8. The need is great. We're going for 10, and by the end of the year, we may, God willing, have 14. The need is great because right now, if you're in the community and you call up an agency and say, our family needs services. My children need therapy. We've got some things going on. I am sad to report to you that you couldn't get in this week or next week. You couldn't even get in this month. There's about a 2.5 months before you can have your first appointment. Now, I don't know about you, but when I am in trouble, when my life is in chaos, when I cry for help, I'm not looking for it to come in 2.5 months. I'm looking for help that comes right now. We hope to address that. 16 programs we have currently, and my time is quickly going away, but I just want to tell you about a few of the programs, because last year we served 2,537 children and families. Most of those children, 27% were under the age of 4, 28% were 5 to 12, 13 to 17, 22% are young people changing, needing change in their life to help them deal with the trauma, the abuse, the neglect, whatever's going on. The average household income that we serve were 72% of them were under $25,000 per year. Families that are hurting. So I want to give you a couple of examples of services that we have, because we have services in 3 locations. There's the main location, 4545 Dodge Street, in which a lot of the services are, but we also have a child care on St. Mary's campus, the Spelman Early Childhood Center. And then we have services at Project Harmony, the Triage Center, Child Saving Institute runs that. That's the place where when children are removed from their homes, they go until they can find a place for them, whether that be with a relative or a trusted individual in their life, or heaven forbid, sometimes they go to foster care. So I need to tell you a story so that you understand what it is this ministry continues to do, what Child Saving Institute is doing in the community. So I have 2 different jobs. I work direct service, and I work in development. The development part of my job is doing a lot of speaking like this, which I love. And the other part is direct service. So in my direct service life, if they get over a certain number of out of ratio at triage, some of us go in. So it was my turn to go in and help at triage. And there was a sibling group of 4 children who had been removed from their home. 4 children. The oldest was 13, almost 14 years old. And for whatever reason, this was not his first time having been removed. So I don't know if he always lived with his family. I don't know the backstory on that. But he had been at the triage center 2 other times. And he was pacing. He was pacing. And he had a brother that was about 10 years old. And that little boy was in the fetal position on the floor. Now, I thought I'd use all my skills. Paid good money for an education. Have a degree from Creighton and a master's degree from UNO. So I went to that young man and I said, honey, and every time I got close to him, he yelled louder. Can I get you something to eat? He screamed louder. Do you want something to drink? Every time I approached, louder. Now, I don't know about you, but the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, my heart was broken for this young man and the pain that I couldn't alleviate. The second thing, quite honestly, that came to my mind is Creighton owes me a refund because they told me that I was qualified to come into the lives of children, and clearly that's not working today. The other 2 siblings were younger, and you know what? They were engaged with the toys and the activities, and so because they were much younger, they were kind of oblivious to what was going on for that moment. So the oldest one was pacing, and finally he looks me right in the eye because my coworker is on the phone and she's talking with social workers and the police that had brought the kids in and doing the day-to-day business. And this young man says, "Ma'am, can I talk to you?" "Of course. Of course." He said, "I know what's going on." I said, "You think you do?" He said, "Yeah, I've been here before. I know what's going on. You're looking for a home that'll take all four of us, but you won't find it. Nobody can take four kids." And I said, "Buddy, we will do our very best. We're working on things right now." He said, "I know, but it's not going to happen." "Lady, promise me one thing." "Well, honey, I don't know that I can promise, but what is it that you're concerned about?" He looks me square in the eye and says, "Put me by myself. I've done this before. I know what to expect. I can handle it, but they need each other. Please put them together." And I mustered my inner strength and I said, "Buddy, we're going to try." He said, "Did you hear me put them together?" I said, "I heard what you said." This young man then walks over to his brother and he did what I could not do. He knelt down and began to rub the back of his younger brother. And as he did, unlike me, it soothed him. And he said, "Buddy, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be okay because they're going to find you a home and you're going to be safe and they're going to feed you three meals a day and you may even get snacks and you will get clean clothes and go to school and you will be okay. And I don't know how long it's going to last, but if it lasts a little while, then they'll let us have telephone calls. And know this, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. You're going to be okay. Watch over the other ones." And that loud wailing dissipated and became a whimper. And then it stopped. And his young brother sat up. And he rubbed his back and he said, "If it lasts much longer, they'll bring us together, probably at CSI, and we'll see each other. You will be okay." That's the work. Play that scenario over and over, because getting removed for abuse and for neglect, for drugs, because of domestic violence. They're getting removed from homes because they're not safe and they need someone to step in. And that's what we do with the help of good people like you that support us. We respond to the cry of a child. That's my time. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.